Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Workers Mic right here on 720 WGN, powered by the National Coalition of Labor. Ken Edwards with the NCL, Ed Maher with the NCL. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm reeling from hearing Wham's Last Christmas on the way in here. And it's my least favorite Christmas song, but I can never get it out of my head.
And Phil, how are you?
I'm doing well.
Phil Davidson, Mid-America Carpenters Regional Council. Didn't Mariah Carey, just read that she has like the number one Christmas song.
I believe it is.
Of all time.
Yeah, yeah. I believe
like
that.
Like the most streams or something?
I think like her children's children's children will never have to work because of that song.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, the moment the food is cleared off the table after Thanksgiving, you'll just hear that creep in from like out in the streets in your neighbor's house.
I got to be honest with you. I couldn't hum it. I don't even know what it is. I'm sure if I heard it.
I'll pretend I don't know what it is.
I will tell you this. I like Mariah Carey. Yeah.
She's a great singer.
Ken, what's your least favorite Christmas song?
How about favorite and least favorite?
Wasn't like Grandpa Got Run Over by a Reindeer or something like that?
Grandma.
Oh, Grandma Got Run Over?
You like that one, huh?
Yeah. That is least or?
Oh, it's both best and least.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. You have one?
Yeah, I like Nat King Cole, the old school Christmas song.
Okay.
And then I hate Wham's Last Christmas.
I don't know that one either.
And they made like 10 different cover versions of it. So it's everywhere. And I can't stand it. How about you, Phil?
I'm going to go favorite Run, Run, Rudolph.
Okay.
That's Chuck a good Berry. One.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a really that's a good, good one. Yeah. That's actually a good song.
It's a great song. High energy. Least favorite, I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus. Promotes adultery.
Just brings back sad memories from your childhood.
Yes. We should not be promoting this.
Nobody hates that song more than
tears family apart.
I saw mommy kissing Santa Claus at the mall.
I saw mommy kissing the UPS guy. Santa Claus would have been an upgrade.
Hey, just kidding, mom. At least it's Teamsters, not that FedEx guy.
Oh, that's right.
That's right.
Right? This guy doesn't even have a pension.
No.
Got nothing to offer my wonderful mother.
What are you doing for Christmas?
I'm hosting. I'm having everybody over at my house,
I
love to do.
Oh, super cool.
Yeah.
You, Phil?
We're hosting Christmas Eve.
Oh.
Yeah, so we'll have about 25-ish over.
Do you do like the Feast of the Seven Fishes?
No, we're not seven fish people. We're doing some pork tenderloin. Mm. Some
from Whittingham some Meats?
Spuds from Whittingham Meats. Their meats can't be beat. And I don't know what else besides my...
Lovely. I'm going to New York. So
you're having pizza.
Well, I'm just gonna have pizza. I'm gonna have pizza
Chinese
today.
Food.
Yeah.
Oh, because I'm Jewish.
I know you said it.
It's also Hanukkah. Just for the record, not just Christmas.
What's your favorite Hanukkah song?
I don't know.
It's like Buddy Guy. Buddy Guy every January down at his club on the South Side does like a month of shows and they sell out immediately. And I don't know how old Buddy Guy is, but he's still doing it.
Amazing.
Yeah, and I'm going in January to see him, and it's one of the coolest shows ever. Yeah, I mean, he's the guy that, like, Eric Clapton would tell you is the greatest guitarist who ever lived. You know? Yeah. He's a legend, and he's right here in Chicago. Yeah. But he kind of built that new club non-union.
We heard about that.
Yeah,
we
I've
heard
got
about that.
Buddy Guy built this place non-union?
Yeah, he had an old club, and then he built a new one, I want to say, like, 7-8 years ago.
Legend.
Yeah. Yeah, Buddy Guy's legends.
Why?
They had some subcontractors that were non-union.
Come on, man.
I know.
The blues. Like you're giving the workers the blues.
Hey-o.
You know who else is building non-union? The White House. Right?
That's why it's not going to be done for 4 years.
I've heard that. Is it for sure?
The general is non-union and hires, as he would say, both union and non-union workers, but there's no PLA, even though this should be. But wait a second, it's like private money or something goofy like that. So it's like partially union, partially not union. But here's the thing.
They're not getting paid anyway. They're going to get stiffed on the bill.
That is a very good point. But why, like, let's say it is, you know, whatever. Why isn't there rat up there? Right? Why isn't there pickets?
Nobody wants to upset the boy king.
There's not a lot of union density in D.C.
Surprisingly low.
Yeah.
Ever since the Metro project.
Is that right?
Yeah. Like, and that's what we were always told the Carpenters Union. It's like, once they went underground, everything above ground went non-union because all the workers are underground.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it's bad.
Well, it's still not an excuse. And, you know, if you're going to build the White House, you know, maybe use union labor or pay prevailing wage, you know, and make sure that everybody's getting a pension and safety and all that kind of stuff.
It's an interesting point because if you use federal dollars, you have to pay prevailing wage. But he's not using federal dollars. It's all donated money.
I don't see how he can do that. Like, who gets to donate to build the White House?
People who want pardons and or contracts.
Yeah, and or government business, yes. And or stakes in Trump's crypto companies.
Which is now, by the way, merged with a nuclear fusion company.
Did you read that? Yeah.
What could go wrong?
For $6
billion? Trump and nuclear fusion.
Next will be like hair tonic or something, you know?
I haven't dug into it yet. Yeah, but I guess the Wall Street Journal just did a big story about like 268 business interests of the Trump family and where all the money's coming in now. And yeah, oof. I mean, they're getting loaded.
He's working. He's a worker. Yeah. You know, workers, Mike. He's the hardest working president.
I guess he is a worker.
He's working it. Some of these things aren't working.
All right, listen. So this is our pre-Christmas show. So we're trying to have some upbeat news. We got some good organizing stories.
Yeah.
And things like that. So we'll take a quick break and we'll come back with more of the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN.
You're listening to the Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Workers' Mic. Right here, 720 WGN, Ken, Ed, Phil. So, let's start with some good news. Phil, Carpenters?
Carpenters, last week we had a ceremony at Northwestern's new Ryan Field.
Yeah.
Very familiar.
Yep.
Going to be a state-of-the-art football stadium. Some are saying the best in the country.
Really?
And, yeah, this is a job that carpenters, laborers, operators, electricians, everyone's on. I mean, this is putting probably 1,000 people to work.
You know, awesome.
It's a huge project, probably the biggest project we got going on in the suburbs right now. And there was a little ceremony with the mayor and a group called the Trade Collective, which was recently formed to help get people from the area into the trades, because that's obviously a big push of what we do, is make sure that, you know, we hire local people.
For sure.
And so we got four recent Evanston Township High School residents into the union.
That's awesome.
It was great. It was, you know, the mayor got up and gave a speech. The general contractor came up, a representative from the trade collective, said some encouraging words, and it was just like, yeah, you know, we're practicing what we preach. We're getting people into the trades. Now these guys are going to be on a path. They could, you know, they could potentially get 3 of their 4-year apprenticeship in that job alone.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, and then that'd be really cool.
Then you get the journey level wages, which are family sustaining.
And it's right there, right? Like, it's right in there. Their backyard.
It's in their backyard. So I mean, that was kind of a cool thing to see.
Yeah.
So kudos to our business representative, Rob Piani, who was involved with that.
That's awesome. So that's great.
Well done, Rob.
Yes. Yeah, good for you, Rob. Hold on a second. All right, Rob. All right.
And now Evanston. For the bad news.
Well, here, one more piece of good news.
Oh, we got
before.
More good? Whoa.
Some more good news. Teamsters right here in our backyard in Joliet, right? I think it's Teamsters 179.
Yep.
They just organized a bunch of bus drivers.
They did.
For, I think it's a school district.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like sort of, that's their bread and butter, part of their bread and butter.
Yeah, they represent a lot of the school bus districts or school districts in that area, the bus drivers.
And those bus drivers deserve it, right? You try and drive around 1,000 screaming kids, you know, like hopped up on sugar.
Well, you need good people. And with the sort of like sporadic schedule, you've got to make that job worth having.
I think that's right. You know, and by the way, they're driving your kids around.
Exactly.
You want to pay them a good pay rate, right? This is always the argument with teachers. It's like, the teachers are glorified babysitters. No, they're not. And even if they were, I want to pay them a lot of money.
Yeah.
They got my kid.
Absolutely.
Right? So, anyway, speaking of the Teamsters now, UPS is getting sued in the state of New York. And the article said purse pirates. They're stealing, allegedly, says Letitia James, from the seasonal workers. And so much like what the carpenters do, and the trade's now starting to, I think, really start to get into this wage theft. Because, you know, we've said it before, I'll say it again, the biggest area of theft in the United States is not retail, it's not online, it's wage theft.
Wage theft, correct.
Literally, it really is. So they're saying that the UPS owes these seasonal drivers $45 million in wages for like taking off a half hour for lunch that they never took, you know, making them clock in before, you know, start working before they clocked in, et cetera, et cetera. And so the Teamsters out there were instrumental in getting this off the ground. And Letitia James has brought a lawsuit.
She's filing a suit?
I think she did. And wow. So UPS, of course, is saying, you know, look, we didn't do anything wrong, but we'll see.
Yeah.
And so it was an interesting thing, being forced to work off the clock and, you know, stuff like that. And once again, if you're a seasonal worker, right, just like the bus drivers, like, you know, every penny counts.
For
because
sure.
You're taking that seasonal job. Maybe you're off in the winter or you really need that money. So you're working seasonal and, you know, you got to get paid,
yeah.
Right? And so it's not like UPS is not making money, right?
Right.
I think they're making.
We would expect this out of FedEx, not UPS. Do better, UPS.
I think that's right. Do better, yeah. Do better because we use UPS, right? I mean, I literally won't use FedEx because it's not union. Yeah, of course. So, and what is in UPS news? What do they decide to do? They're like, you know what? We're going to introduce robotic arms to unload the trucks. So sorry.
That's what Brown can do for you.
Yes.
It's going to be a brown arm. Brown, and it can lift 50 pounds. And it's supposed to be like, it's going to, you know, it's going to make us more efficient, i.e. lose jobs.
Yeah.
Right? So here it is again. Robotics now taking over jobs.
Yeah. Meet the arm. He can work 24 hours a day and we don't have to buy insurance for him.
Yeah. We should organize robots, Phil.
That's probably going to be the future here.
What do you offer a robot?
A female robot?
I mean, it's worth a shot.
Mrs. Robot?
Yeah.
It's like Mr. Potato had always wanted Mrs. Potato.
Listen, if it works, at least we know how to rein these suckers in when they start putting machine guns on them, and we really need, you know, an in.
So, anyway. So we got that. We did say good news, but unfortunately, the job data came in. And
the good news is it's almost Christmas.
Okay, yeah. The job data came in. And
that
of course,
ends the good news portion of the program.
We have more fun with bad news anyway sometimes, though.
Well, it's easy to laugh at it when it's, you know, we're sitting here, but it really it does affect people and the world and the economy.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know? But look, there's an article that came out, and this is ties in with the jobs data, which is unemployment's ticking up. Right? Things are not affordable. And the jobs report just came in. And oh, by the way, they skipped a month for the first time ever in the world, right? Because the government shut down.
Yeah.
So we don't really know the true numbers.
Yeah.
But they came in and
Powell said be skeptical.
And it was weak. Yeah. And the job numbers were weak, right? So, you know, here you have the administration saying the economy is great. Never better. It's the best economy ever in the entire world. And the jobs report is not good. And Wall Street's like, wait a second. And, you know, there's an article in the Wall Street Journal that white collar workers now. Right?
I saw this.
You saw this? They're like clinging to their jobs. They are petrified.
Oh, yeah.
That they are going to either be replaced by AI, not be able to find gainful employment if they lose their jobs. You know, and so.
Oh, it's going to be up over 10% by next year, I'm convinced.
Are you?
Yeah.
Yeah,
for sure. It's not getting better. It's going to just keep trending upward and upward.
Phil used to be a glass half empty guy, mm-hmm. but I think at this point he might not even have a glass.
All those deep dives I've done on AI. No, I am.
But here, look. If once again, AI should be a wonderful thing for humanity,
mm-hmm.
right? Allow us to be more productive and smarter and make advancements in math and physics and things that, you know, might make the world better. Nuclear fusion, for example, you know, stuff like that. Instead, of course, what it's doing is
it's a job killer.
It's feeding corporate greed.
Yeah.
And so, you know, what do the states do? The states want to regulate it. What does Trump do the other day? He signs an executive order not allowing the states to regulate AI, even though in the big, beautiful bill, they got rid of that. He goes right back, changes his mind, and writes an executive order. States can't regulate AI.
So I think some states are just ignoring that.
Well, they have to. You have to, right? And who's writing that check behind them? Meta, you know, Elon Musk, whatever, right? All these tech companies,
yeah.
Right? And so you have to regulate this. And if you don't regulate it and regulate it soon, then we are going to be in huge trouble.
A world of hurt.
Because, look, if it steals jobs, if it takes jobs, where are these folks going to go? There's only at some point, there's only so many jobs available in the United States, right?
Absolutely.
Think of it as, like, there's a giant pot of money
yeah.
for everybody in America.
Right.
And if corporations start putting out robots, a little bit of that money is not going to people. It's going to whoever owns the corporation. So yes, more and more of that pile. And I don't think that there's anybody out there who would argue that they are not getting enough and that workers are not getting enough. So we've just got to keep human beings making money, however they do this with AI.
And the downstream effects of, okay, so you lose your job, you can't pay your mortgage anymore. The bank has to
foreclose
on your home.
Right.
Like the bank faces a loss. Now the credit markets can start to just completely crumble. And now what? Now we have an economy that's just been shambles.
You have to fix it. And look, maybe early next year we will have somebody come on and discuss the concept of universal basic income, right? And we've talked about this in the past, and that is, like, if all the jobs go away, then the companies that are making all the money have to kick in to a fund, and that fund has to pay people so they can eat and they can buy and they can survive, because otherwise, you know, capitalism has to implode on itself. So maybe next year we have somebody smarter than us come on. And
Andrew Yang?
He was the guy.
People thought he was nuts, but when you listen to it, it made sense, because unemployment costs taxpayers.
Yep.
Because you have, you know, higher, you have use of social safety nets, you have higher, you know, substance abuse issues, things like that, like higher domestic violence. It all comes from unemployment. So folks that are going to contribute to unemployment should contribute something to the cost of those social ills.
Right. And then we have policies coming from the government that also are killing jobs right now, like the decision to completely pull any sort of funding from anything considered renewable for our administration. And now we got the news that
they
Ford,
still fund it in Indiana, though.
Yeah, in Indiana, certain spots. But Ford just decided that they're going to just end their EV program, basically. I don't know, completely end, but they, I know they're getting rid of the,
the
electric F-150. And now there's going to be a loss of 1,600 jobs in Kentucky over this, because Ford's taking that $19 billion write-down because of their losses that they're anticipating.
Explain this to me, though, okay? Yeah. This is what I don't understand. First of all, EV makes sense, right? And it's an alternative way of, you know, driving, you know, whatever, alternative energy source, if you will. I mean, it's not alternative, but it's just less polluted and blah, 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 all this kind of good stuff. And it was all the rage. And then you have Tesla and Rivian and what's the other one? Lucid, and, you know, some of these companies. And then all of a sudden the big boys are jumping into it and making hybrids. And then they go full electric. And why does that end? Because Trump doesn't like electric vehicles?
Because it was Biden's policy.
Right. I think that's right. You hit the nail on the head. I think because it was Biden's policy, it must be bad.
Yeah.
So now people are losing their jobs, right? And we're going to go back to gas.
And guess who's not stopping EV vehicle production? China.
Right.
They're just going to completely monopolize the market. They're going to have everything. Well, they're going to buy all our cars from there.
They took all the technology from Tesla and started their own company, BYD, Build Your Dreams.
Yeah. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, and they're building factories in Mexico where they can, their entry-level car is going to cost something in the neighborhood of like $20,000+. So when I saw this turn from Ford, I was like, is this because the technology doesn't make sense? This isn't the direction of the industry? Or is it just because these big companies can't be profitable, can't compete against these other companies? Because if you can't compete and you go backwards, it's just a doomsday
they can't
clock.
Because we've pulled incentives for buyers to purchase EV vehicles. You know, like
it's the same thing with the wind energy, which, by the way, Judge, you know, kind of pulled the pin on that and said, no, you can't cancel that wind energy project, the big one out of New York,
right,
or Rhode Island, wherever it was. But just because you don't like something or somebody else did it, like, don't, it's so short-sighted. Like, you know, let's figure out every single bit of energy, every single bit of energy, because they mean jobs and potentially, you know, helping, you know, emissions and, you know, saving the planet and blah, blah, blah.
Which, I mean, let's be honest, like, it's happening, all right? obviously you have to balance the policies and make sure that you have, because I would say, like, we support natural gas production and those jobs that industry creates, but you can't just turn a blind eye to what's happening to the environment as well. Like
you think?
Which seems to be the current administration's policy. I'm like, that's all fake.
And I mean, beyond that, Illinois Commerce Commission put out a study this week saying that essentially we are going to be out of electricity in Illinois by like 2029.
That's next year.
We got to take a break, but I don't want to miss the hypocrisy of the Illinois Commerce Commission on this one. let's take a break and we'll come back and do a dive on that.
We'll be right back with more of the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Workers' Mic. More show to come. Sponsored by Hinge Health. Hinge Health specializes in personalized digital exercise therapy designed for hardworking people just like you. It's pain relief without waiting rooms and costly medications. Visit hingehealth.com today. Now, back to the show.
You're listening to The Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN, powered by the National Coalition of Labor. Ken, Ed, Phil. So, along those lines, right, we're talking about the Commerce Commission. What was it called?
The Illinois Commerce Commission.
And they, you know, had this whole big spiel about stopping the building of, you know, the replacement of all our utilities and natural gas. They had to study it and all this kind of nonsense. And then a year later, they're like, oh, we should do this. And, you know, so they're, our members are back working and replacing these utilities that, by the way, were wood from the 1800s or something like that. So we needed that. Now they come out and say, wait a second, we're going to be out of energy?
Well, right. I mean, and to your point, when they shut down all these projects for a year, everyone who knows things about infrastructure said, this is a terrible, like, you don't know what you're doing.
Right.
Terrible idea. And then they reversed course, and now they have signed on to the Illinois Energy Sufficiency Report, which says basically that gas or electric bills could go up by $70 a month within 3 years.
Why?
And, because there's so much more demand and there's not a lot of new generation.
Got it.
Now, new generation, you know, if we're talking about nuclear, whatever, they were pushing windmills. Yep. And I've got nothing against windmills, but when you're building data centers that drink electricity the way Phil drinks bourbon around the holidays, you need more than that. I mean, they're talking all this stuff, and then
they're thirsty,
and they're trying to cancel options like natural gas. They're just, I don't know. I don't know if you call it hypocrisy. I don't know if you call it just not knowing what you're talking about. Right. But even now, you've got the Citizens Utility Board out saying, you know, we've got to be renewable. And it's like, listen, we need electricity. You tell people, what are we going to do? Be like the Soviet Union? Tell them, like, turn off your lights at 7 p.m.? I don't think it's going to happen. So let's start. Wait,
hold on a second, everybody. You need to turn off your lights from 7 to 7 so AI can take your job in the morning.
Exactly.
Yeah, we'll call them, like, freedom hours or something like that. Like, be part of the team.
There won't be a lot of crime.
Yeah, no, not at all.
That's
not
exactly
at all.
What's happening. And then what? It was, like, 3 years ago, I want to say, Illinois passed an energy bill which included stipulations to basically offline natural gas and coal producing facilities.
Yeah. Right.
And now they're saying, like, we might need to backtrack on that and keep those online because, you can't meet the demand with the renewables alone.
These data centers, right? Like you said, they're taking up massive amounts of energy. So they're increasing, you know, the local community's electricity bills, right?
Yeah.
They're providing jobs. So, right. So, you know, back to the workers, Mike, piece of this, right? The construction of these centers is massive.
Massive.
Absolutely. Tons of good jobs. But when those things are over, right, when the thing is built, I don't know how many jobs are inside of the plant.
Right.
And probably fewer and fewer with the advent of AI. So we're in like a little bit of a catch-22 in the trades, right? We want to build the things, but we're sort of building our own demise, if you will. And so states are starting to ban them.
Right.
And so it's going to be a race to, like, okay, well, if you're banning it in Michigan, for example.
Michigan's trying to ban the tax incentives.
Right. Then you know that there's a state that's going to go, come on down,
come on
to
over.
Alabama. Yep. We'll give you
arms,
you know,
wide open.
Yep.
And we've seen that before with corporate headquarters or, you know, sports teams or whatever. And the problem is, like, if you try to drag in a headquarters and you give them, you're in an arms race with other states to try to give them more tax incentives or whatever, ultimately it gets to a point where this is no longer valuable to the community. You know, like, you're giving up so much that taxpayers are just sort of subsidizing this place to be there. So states just have to be smart about this. If you're going to not charge these mammoth electric consumers any rate increases for 10 years,
right,
electricity is going to get more expensive. So who's supposed to pay for it?
And what they say in Illinois, $70 a month?
Yeah, it could go up $70 a month in 3 years.
I wonder if we'll see new nuclear facilities in Illinois, because that was part of the bill that was just passed.
Right, these new small modular nukes.
Well, no, and then this year they opened it up where I think 2 years ago, it was they would allow the small scale nukes, but now this one said you can rebuild large scale nukes. So we might need them. Wait a
second. Can we build one in the next 3 years?
You know? I don't know. That's gonna take a while.
Wait, Phil, are we back to nukes?
We might.
Wasn't there like a big concert? No nukes.
That's right. No, we're,
I don't remember that one.
We embraced from nukes the '70s. Nukes are hot again.
Not nuclear weapons, just nuclear energy. Correct. Right. And by the way, it's nuclear. Not nuclear.
Nuclear.
A lot of people say nuclear. That's one of those things where if you could be like the smartest person in the world, if you say nuclear, yeah. I'm just like,
It's like niche.
That was George Bush, right?
Nuclear. Well, a lot of people say nuclear.
Yeah.
Yeah, keep an ear out for it. You'll hear it everywhere.
And so a lot of people say, you know, that they're really in that kind of niche. It's not niche. It's niche. Hmm. Right?
Well, you kid went to a French school. So.
Yeah, I'm also really smart. So anyway, we got that, right? So
we have a real Grinch this Christmas.
I can't tell you that much. It's this guy from ICE. What's his name?
Bovino.
Is it Greg Bovino?
Bovino.
Yeah. What's his beef? Like, I don't even understand. But like, and look, I get it.
People made fun of him when he was a child, and his father probably never told him he loved him, I think.
There was a big article in the Sun-Times about him where they followed him and where he grew up. I don't know where he grew up. I skimmed the headline. But there was some history with his family getting into trouble, and yeah.
Well, listen, you do what you will, and I understand the ICE issue, right? It's really, really heavy-handed in the way they're going about this, and it's, you know, obviously my own personal opinion is I'm certainly not a fan of the way they're going about it. It is what the country voted for. Yeah, country's like, hey, we don't want, you know, those immigrants here. Well, which ones? The ones that commit crime. Yeah. Well, what about the ones that didn't commit crime? No, we don't want them here anyway.
Right? Well, they're saying that like 70% of the people they round up are American-born citizens, and like 98% of the people they round up have no criminal record.
Yeah, and it's disrupting local economies.
It's like, not efficient.
This is having an economic impact.
There's no question about it.
Little village, people aren't going out. They're not shopping. Right. Everyone's scared. Like,
yeah.
I mean, sure, okay. I mean, whatever the policy is, but there's other effects that are, you know, probably weren't considered at the time when they're like, all right, we're just going to go raid every seat in America where we think there's a lot of people who are here undocumented.
Well, and there's nobody left to wash the dishes and pick the fruit and do all the things that these workers do.
Exactly.
And don't tell me they don't, because they do. Mm. And it's not denigrating them, but that's what they do. And those jobs are open right now, but nobody's taking them.
No.
And so
there's not a restaurant in Chicago that doesn't have a help wanted sign up.
There's all day, every day. That's absolutely correct. So, but to, you know, so this is one of those like adding insult to injury. The Teamsters Local 705 had a picket, right? At what is it, Mauser or something like that? And I don't even know what they do. Do you?
It's a manufacturing industry.
Gotcha. Yeah. And so they're
down
out there
by,
picketing.
Midway.
Yeah, and they're on strike.
Yeah,
I think they're
they've been on
right?
strike for a couple months now.
Okay, and so you know they're out there, and who shows up? ICE and this guy, right? So you're gonna show up to a picket and like try and pick people off of the picket line. And my understanding was they were like literally just asking everybody that was on the picket, basically, show me your papers.
Yeah.
Like Nazi Germany, right? Show me your papers. What do you mean show me what papers? Like, what do I have to show you? My driver's license? And why, right? What suspicion do you have that I'm not legal? Because the color of my skin?
Well, that's exactly what it is. And they've been transparent about that.
They're not making any bones about it.
I can't believe the courts allowed that.
But I mean, but you're on a picket, right? You're fighting for your job. You're fighting for the working class. You're trying to lift up, you know, everybody else's boat. You know, you're a proud Teamster member. And, you know, here's the locals out there picketing. And all of a sudden, now we got to deal with ICE.
Yeah.
Right? And so, like, it's just, you know, shame on them for doing it.
Isn't that a violation of their First Amendment rights?
You would think so. I mean, it certainly has a chilling effect, right? Yeah. Do I want to picket or do I want to, like, be harassed by ICE?
Right.
You know what I mean? So, like, Starbucks, once again, I'm giving these guys credit. They are now pushing the envelope. They were picketing a warehouse or a, what do you call it?
Distribution center.
A distribution center. And I forget where the town was, but they had 30 cops show up. 30, right? And I don't even know how many picketers were there, but 30 cops show up for what, right? To basically bust their chops, make sure that they're not, I don't know, blocking the ingress and egress.
Yeah.
You know, but you need 30 cops? I mean, it's just like...
It seems a little excessive.
It's, first of all, it's, and you know, in my humble opinion, it's probably Starbucks going, we need a lot of cops out there because these baristas are really violent.
Yeah, they're radicals.
Yeah, they're, I think they threw some coffee beans. There's coffee beans all over the place and people are slipping. Yeah.
And as a labor lawyer, Ken, I've seen you talk to police when they show up on picket lines. And the picketing laws in Illinois are extremely strong, extremely clear, and to their credit, most police officers know what you're allowed to do, where you're allowed to stand, yeah. like what you are technically okay to do if you're in a labor dispute.
Yeah.
But maybe some other places just don't, and it's incumbent upon the unions, I think, to know their own rights and be able to show that to cops as well.
I think that's right. And, you know, we used to carry around, you know, some like the scabby decision and, mm-hmm. you know, stuff like that.
For sure.
I remember when we were at the writer's strike.
For sure.
The cop came up and he's like, we had all the trucks and cars parked
on the
sidewalk. Like, on the sidewalk. And he's like, you know, you can't really do that. I'm like, oh, no, you can. So the 10 car rule. And he's like, what? I'm like, yeah, you know, the 10 car rule. He's like, that's a thing? I'm like, yeah, of course it is.
He said, I'm going to go look into this.
I'm going to go look into it. Then he never came back. And I just made that up. There's no 10 car rule.
I like that.
I think there's like a 3 car rule.
I think it's 3. Yeah. I went with 10, you know? So it's like the, you know, the single fence rule.
Yeah.
It's like just goofy stuff. So.
I guess speaking of ICE, also, they, I guess there was Black Hawk helicopter circling around the aforementioned Ryan Field yesterday. So,
are you serious?
Yeah, they might be showing up at job sites now too. Yeah,
you know, they're just driving around yeah. now. They're flying around like with binoculars. Like, does anybody look illegal down there? Like, come on, fellas, you're supposed to have a plan. We thought you were a little more sophisticated than all this. Maybe you're not.
Tactics, but yeah, I just.
That's what they're doing, like on construction sites.
Oh yeah, I mean, I'm hearing more of it, but this was documented yesterday. Yeah. Excuse me, earlier this week. Yeah.
In my humble opinion, Gregory Bovino sucks.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna say that. That is my opinion. He sucks.
Okay, fair enough. I'll second that opinion.
Okay.
How about that? So, in one more piece of news, just to wrap things up, you know, we're talking about federal employees. TSA workers and what do they call it? Air traffic controllers,
yeah.
right? And so the Trump administration came out and said, we're going to give everybody a $10,000 bonus because you guys were the best during the shutdown.
Yeah.
And the union's like, yeah, no thank you. And the workers were like, yeah, no thank you. And you know why? Because out of like 6,000 people, only 400 you get the bonus.
Right.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you have to have perfect attendance forever and a day.
On all the days that you weren't getting paid to be there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it was literally, I'm not making this up, I'm reading this right now. Out of 311 unionized air traffic controllers, out of 13,000 were going to get a check. And 423 out of 6,000 TSA workers were going to get a check. And meanwhile, mind you, simultaneously, it's like, I'm going to give you a check. And I'm also taking away your collective bargaining rights. And
again.
I'm cutting that again. And now judges block it again. And there's so much litigation about that. But they're like, no, absolutely not. If you're going to pay everybody, then pay everybody, right? See, because guess what? I'm not getting paid. I might have to go out and drive for Uber for a week or two. So I can't work my unpaid job because I need a paid job.
Right.
So it's stupid. Stupid and short-sighted. So listen.
Oh, yeah. He's getting desperate with all this cash he's starting to float in front of people. Everyone's getting a bonus. I saw there's a warrior bonus for service members.
We're all going to get tariff dividends.
Yeah, we're going to get tariff
dividends. Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of checks.
Newborns are getting checks. Yeah, everyone's getting paid.
All these checks are in the mail.
Right.
They're coming.
Yeah, by the way, when are we getting those tariff checks?
We'll find out.
I heard that we've raised, what did he say, like $17 trillion as a result of tariffs. So it's like,
split
the deficit, right? Like pay off half the debt.
No,
not for some reason. No,
I'm actually giving it all to Mark Zuckerberg.
Yeah.
He needs the money.
Yeah,
he needs a much bigger yacht.
Investing it in Trump coin.
There you go. All right, listen. We'll take a quick break. I'm going to come back. We're going to wrap up the Christmas show with more of the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN.
You're listening to The Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Workers' Mic, right here on 720 WGN, powered by the National Coalition of Labor. And before we wrap up the show, I just want to mention we're still in open enrollment for life, AD&D, accident, critical illness, and also for short-term disability. So you can go to NCL enrollment for the life and AD&D. The easiest way is to go to our website, coalitionoflabor.org, and there's a pop-up. You click right through it, and voila, you're in. So so with that, anyway, social media, Phil, and workers, right?
Yeah, I saw an interesting article about how labor attorneys are warning employers to be careful what their policies are for firing employees as it comes to social media content. We know, like, in the wake of the Charlie Kirk shooting, now Rob Reiner. People were getting fired for what they were posting on their own personal social media accounts.
Right.
And they're saying that the attorneys are advising, be careful what you do, because workers under the NLRA have protected speech. So if they're saying something as it relates to their work, their wages, their benefits, working conditions, they can't get fired for that.
Well, they can.
They can, but you...
and they do.
You're setting yourself up for legal liability.
Yeah, long as the labor board still exists, and as long as the National Labor Act still
there
exists.
There is that whole thing.
Bad news there, Ken, actually. Just checked.
Let's put it this way. Supreme Court's about to take that last sort of gut punch to the National Labor Relations
Board. We're saying
board.
Ostensibly yes. in an ideal working...
But here, Phil... Yeah. To your point, right? Yeah. If you're a worker bee and on your own social media, you say, you know what? I think my job at blank corporation is not great. And here's why. We need more breaks. We need more bodies. We need less AI. We need, you know.
Better safety.
Better safety. You know, things that can be considered sort of concerted, protected activity, which is when you're talking about things for your workforce. And they fire you for that. You know, that definitely can be a violation of the National Labor Relations Act.
Yep.
So, take that to its logical conclusion, and that is when the labor board gets gutted, and then Trump gets to put in, you know, all his people, and they decide, like, nope, we're not going to prosecute those cases. Some states and some super high-end professors are saying that the National Labor Relations Act should be amended to include a private right of action. So right now, it has to go through the labor board,
right?
And you have to exhaust your internal remedies before you go to court, et cetera. Well, if there's no more labor board and the board becomes unconstitutional, right, and feckless, basically, then there should be a private right of action where you can take that case, Phil, right? Hey, they fired me because I complained about my working conditions on social media, and you can go into court, right?
Directly
to court. And it makes perfect sense to me. Now,
would this be state courts or federal?
I think it would be federal. Yeah, like First Amendment type things, or National Labor Relations Act is a federal act. Yep. Some states, it's a great question, though. Some states are backfilling the void,
right?
So California, New York, they're having their own private National Labor Relations Act that will supposedly supersede it, basically, or fill in the blanks where, you know, and then, of course, the National Labor Relations Board, which is barely hanging on by a thread, is suing the states to say, no, we're still around, and it's our province, not yours. Yeah. Like, wait a second, you're not still around, really.
No.
So, and not for long. So there's a lot of stuff going on. You know, I think it would behoove us on the workers' mic, and maybe this is something that we start doing, is to have, like, a legal update. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
only we knew a lawyer.
Well, I'm barely a lawyer, Phil. You know that. And so I think it's going to be called Barely Legal.
Oh, that's great.
What do you think about that?
I love it.
Thank you so much. The Workers' Mic presents Barely Legal. And there's us talking about laws and cases, but we barely know what we're talking about.
Talk about clickbait, though, also, too. We'll be that thing go viral. Let's go.
We have a lot of disappointed people who aren't here for labor.
You like that, Phil, huh?
I love it.
There you go. That's a Ken Edwards original. But maybe we start talking about some of these cases, because right now you literally need a scorecard to keep track of what laws are still good, what laws are no good, what laws are on the chopping block, what unions can't do, what you as an employer can do even, right? It's not just for employees. Employers have to go like, wait a second, is that legal? Can I do this? Can I not do this? So maybe it's time to start talking about at least keeping a running track of some of the more important cases that are going on out there. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. I've got one interesting thing to throw in on this NLRB that's happened within like the last 2 weeks, I want to say.
Okay.
Is, you know, SpaceX, Tesla, these other groups have sued the NLRB saying
Portillo's.
Yeah, saying it's unconstitutional. So they go to court, and in this case, the NLRB would have to defend itself, right? Saying, here's what we do, and this is why it is constitutional.
Yeah.
However, the executive branch doesn't really support workers, labor, or the NLRB. So the NLRB has chosen not to defend itself, not to try to stay in existence. Hmm. So a couple of unions tried to file briefs to defend the NLRB, which was choosing not to defend itself. And a federal court said,
on its own behalf,
can't do that. So, like, This is a government that doesn't serve people at this point.
We are truly in the Twilight Zone. I mean, what is going on here?
Yeah, wait a second. Yeah. So they're trying to take
the government won't stand up for itself.
They're trying to declare a government agency unconstitutional. The government agency says, we're just going to take a pass.
We're going to sit this one out.
We're going to sit this one out.
And also, no one else whose lives depend on this, you have no say in the matter.
And also, states can't take this into their own hands.
Because it's not your job. Right. It's our job that we're not doing.
It's our prerogative to be ineffective.
Listen, what happened to small government, right? happened to that?
No. Hey, states, I think it's actually no government, which is nothing smaller than that.
Listen, I tell you, I keep reading, we said it before, and we'll say it again, the law of unintended consequences, there is going to be tons more self-help, strikes, pickets, boycotts, things like that. It's got to happen, right? Yeah. And people, look, you're seeing it right now. Tons more strikes going on. And if there's no law, it's going to be back to the Wild West, right?
Oh, yeah. We'll see a general strike.
It's interesting you say that.
In our lifetime.
You think so?
Sure. Yeah, I think we will.
And general strike meaning like the entire country just shuts down and stops working.
Yeah.
Not just unions, the whole country, everybody. Right?
They did it in Portugal last week.
Yeah. Was it? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say, I saw something about recently,
I know.
It's something that's not unheard of in other parts of the country.
I love Portugal. It's a beautiful part of Africa.
People think they're lazy in Europe because they go on strike and they have a lot of vacation time and they can afford eggs and mortgages and things like that. And most of them are able to retire at some point, so they're clearly lazy and on the wrong path.
Yeah, no, everything's going swimmingly here. You know what though? If it was going so great, we wouldn't have a show.
Very true.
Hey, you know what? 2 years ago, there was union election after union election, everything going the right way, and we were the good news show.
Exactly. It was. You're right about
Let's
that.
Let's not pretend we didn't have plenty to talk about.
Fair enough.
We were getting a little cocky.
Yeah, things were going too well.
Yeah, the pendulum has swung.
So, all right, listen, we got to go. We'll be back next week with more of The Worker's Mic right here on 720 WGN.
The preceding episode of The Worker's Mic was powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare. For additional information and podcasts of The Worker's Mic, visit WGNradio.com.